a tangibleness of his presence. And I was just reminded of a quote from one of my favorite worship leaders, Jason Upton. He says, an empire knows us by our number, but God knows us by our name. He's very personal, very personal. God knows us by our name. He's not distant, but he's close. He doesn't know, just know the number of Christians, but he knows you personally. And even if you haven't received a prophetic word from Henry tonight, you can come afterwards. He'll pray for you. No, I'm joking, but go to God, because it's God speaking through Henry. And if we only listen, we'll hear what God speaks over us, because he knows you personally. All right, he knows what you're going through. He knows everything. So that's just an encouragement. But really, in this season that I'm currently in, the Lord has been teaching me to be more reliant on him. To be more reliant on me. I've realized, not only now, but more now, that I do not meet God's standard. And if I ask tonight, who of you feel like sometimes you don't meet God's standard, I think the whole room would put up their hands. We all feel like we fail, we don't obey him like we should, we don't love people the way we should love people. And I've just been so reminded that I need to trust God, because really, I cannot do it on my own. Even when it comes to evangelism, I've realized that where I'm at in this season in Stellenbosch is, I'll never be here again if God ever moves me, maybe, I don't know. But to be in a place like the Nielsen with so many people, that's where the students eat toast, it's the place's name, not just bread, but some of them. Even there, with all the unsaved people and people that don't know God, I've gone like, God, help me not to waste it. Help me not to waste it. May I be a risk taker in the sense of stepping out and reaching those people. But you know what? I struggle. Because I'm scared. I have the fear of man many times. Like, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? Are they going to throw me with something, hit me with something? I don't know. Oh, I don't know how students react. Because I see that in America, that just people preaching gospel get thrown with stuff. Or they're just going to think I'm weird or what. I've got the fear of man, man. And I realize that even in that, I need to be reliant on God. I need to trust God. Because this Christian walk, I'm going to just break all of your minds tonight. Are you ready? Write this down. You cannot do this by yourself. Yeah, sorry. Just look at the Ten Commandments and look which one you broke today. You can't. Even loving God, we can't do by ourselves. And so the title of my preach tonight, if you're taking notes, is, you can put it up, Trust the Helper. Trust the Helper. Let's look at John 16, verse 5 to 7. And it's Jesus speaking here after he's raised again from the dead, after being crucified, and after he walked for how long with the disciples again, after he's resurrected. And he's now going back to heaven to be seated next to the Father. And he says this, but now I'm going to him who sent me, which is the Father. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. They're sad. They're sad that Jesus is leaving. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And so Jesus is saying he needs to go away, because when he goes away, he's going to send a Helper, which means he's not going to leave you to just fend off for yourself. and struggle for yourself. He knows that we need a helper. And so he says, don't worry, don't worry. I'm going to send an helper to come and help you in your Christian walk. Now, before we ask the question, who is the helper? Let's look at what is a helper. Okay? Difficult question. Okay, are you ready? A helper is someone who helps you to do something you cannot do on your own. Zoe, come here. So now that you're part of the family, you're gonna be. I just want you to quickly come here quickly.
Yes,
Zoe. Stand on that side of the piano quickly. While you're busy, can you just pick it up and come, just put it here for a moment? It doesn't look like you're really... Where's Seth now? Oh, Seth. Really need it. Seth is her boyfriend. You want to try again? We're going to leave it. Okay. So, who agrees that Zoe cannot pick up that piano by herself? I do not even think Nico can. Eh? Nico can, probably. Okay. But what she can do is she can ask you guys to help her. And then she can get strong guys around her to pick up that piano. You can go sit again. Thank you. Give her a round of applause, please. She can ask some you guys to come and help her. And that, in its simplicity, is what a helper does. It helps you to, he or she helps you to do something that you cannot do in your own strength or capabilities or whatever, and to make the job easier for you. So, tonight, I want to look at who is the helper, what does the helper do, and how do we follow and trust the helper. And I trust that by the end of tonight, you will put your trust in the helper that God has sent to come and help you, and that you will be fully reliant on him every day to help you in what you're facing and in your witness to others about Jesus. So I trust that you will meet him tonight and trust him. In John 14:26, who is the helper? In John 14:26, Jesus says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So Jesus makes it clear that the helper is the Holy Spirit. And the word for helper, the Greek word, and I'm going to butcher it, so don't throw me with stones, but the parakletos or the parakletos, right? It means helper, counselor, and comforter. Helper, counselor, and comforter. And the word in its whole, in its being, basically means one that comes alongside. One that comes alongside to comfort, okay? To tell you everything's going to be okay when you're stressed, when you're sad, comfort you. Counselor, that those guys that you pay money for to speak about your problems, he is free to speak to. You do not need money. He can counsel you, give you truth, give you direction, and he helps you every day of your life. Where's Aldrich? That one. Come here, Aldrich. Come here. Don't take too long, bro. I'm working on my time limit, so you need to...
Pick up the piano.
Pick up the piano. The helper, Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't come and go, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Come here. He doesn't go, oh, you can do it, bro. No, he comes alongside and he says, come. And like I said in the first service, this should not be weird. Because we are brothers. I'm serious. This should not be weird. I'm not going to walk with him down the road like this. I'm not saying. But he is my brother. So me holding his hand is not weird. All right. So I'm coming. Let's go, Alderich. Let us go. Let us go sort out that problem. We're in step. Do you guys see we're in step? He's right next to me. He's come. I'm coming alongside him. I'm going to help him now. Not pushing from the back. Not telling that he can't do it and leave. I'm going to come alongside. And together we're going to go pick up that piano with Zoe. No, not really. Okay. So that is what the helper does. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside us. All right. Does it make sense? The Holy Spirit is God. All right? He is God. In Matthew 28, verse 19, we see, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So when you believe in God, you give your life to Him, you get baptized, and you get baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The theologians use the word the Trinity, which means it's three separate persons, but one. Three persons, but one. And I'll try to... Did I say that right? It's fine. Okay. Now try to wrap your mind around it. You will join the church fathers and everyone before that to try to wrap their mind around it. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit is God. Okay? So when you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes, like in Ephesians 1 verse 13, you can see that He seals us. Alright? So He says, you are saved, I come, I seal you, I put my seal upon you, I put a ring almost upon you, to say you now belong to Jesus, to the Father, and one day you will go to heaven because you've been sealed. That's the one thing. Alright? But He also comes and He helps us. Alright? So it's both. So to have the Holy Spirit is to have God Himself indwelling. That is just, if there's one thing, just think about this. The one who made you. It's not like Justin Bieber coming to help you. Alright? Because he can't pick up that piano. It's God, the maker of the universe, the one who made you, the one who split the sea for Israel to walk through, the one who did miracles. That amazing one with there's nothing impossible to Him. There's no one equal to Him. That God comes and He makes His indwelling in you. So how much more can He not help us? Crazy, eh? God, or the Holy Spirit, is a person. So what do I mean with a person? I'm not saying He's a human, all right? But He's a person. So He's not a force like Star Wars. May the Force be with you. Is this Star Trek? You can see I've never watched Star Wars. But I just like doing this. May the Force be with you. Whatever Star Wars does, but it's like... He's not a force. He's a person. So that means... He's a personal being, okay? He's personal. When He comes alongside you, He's not some force that we go, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. No, He's a person. He comes alongside you. He's personal with you. You know, this stand, what is it doing? It's helping me. It's standing, yes. It's helping me. It helps me by holding my computer, but it's not personal. It's not personal. It can't comfort me or help me in any other way. The pronouns used for the Holy Spirit in the Bible is He and Him. Not it. Not it, that thing. It's Him. He was personally involved in creation. He guides us. Hey, this thing can't guide me, but He guides us. He comforts us. He convicts us when we do wrong. He teaches us. He gives us commands. He has a will. You have a will. He's got a will. You can be grieved, saddened when you sin or do not listen. You can have relationship with Him. And each of these things requires the involvement of a person and not just a force or a thing or an idea. So it's true. And really my prayer tonight is that you would get to know Him, meet Him, and walk with Him. That's it. It's not some superpower, it's a person. And the person does the work through me. What does the Helper do? Acts 1 verse 8 to 9. What does the Helper do? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into the cloud. This is Jesus, while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. So what does the Helper do? Well, number one, and the most important thing is, he helps us to witness about Jesus to others. He helps us to witness. Yes, he is the seal of your salvation. Yes, he makes you more like Jesus. But he also comes and he helps you to witness to others, which is good news. Because when I'm afraid, at least I know I've got a helper. So I'm not going into this conversation alone. I'm going with the Holy Spirit. All right? So he comes alongside us to witness about Jesus. Not go alongside. All right. He gives us power to witness. You know what? In a world that is fixated on materialism and how we think and how we do, that's fine. We should know the word. We should know the gospel. We should know about Jesus. Our brains are important. But we have lost the sense of the supernatural power of God. God is not mere matter. He's not matter. He's a supernatural being. Which means he can do anything. He can literally do anything. Anything. He can do anything. And sometimes we think, oh my goodness, he can't do that. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He gives us power to witness about Jesus. We are just flesh and blood. Can I just free everyone here today? Okay, just make you a little bit lighter. You cannot save anyone. Go. But God uses you to witness so that through you they will be saved. Acts 4 verse 29 to 31 says, and now, O Lord, hear their hearts. So just to give you some quick context, the disciples, they were just gone through just a difficult tribulation. Persecution, thank you. Just went through persecution, difficult times, and now they are praying this. They're praying this together. Hear their threats and give us, your servants, this is all of us, great boldness in preaching your word. This is their prayer, right? Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through your name of your holy, through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting where they were, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit made himself known. May this happen tonight. And when I say it, you go like, no, that was in the Bible. No, it's the same Spirit. It's the same God. But are we crying out and expecting for God to come with power? So to witness about Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, he empowers us firstly with boldness. With boldness. What's the definition of boldness? It's to speak openly and confidently about something. So when you look at them, they were sharing the gospel. So when the boldness came, the supernatural boldness came over them from the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, they went out, and with boldness, they went out confidently preaching the gospel of Jesus. No matter what the danger or the opposition was, They didn't ask for comfort or a little bit of ease or give us boldness but keep it comfortable. No, they prayed for steadfastness. That they would be steadfast through suffering, through difficult times, through persecution. And not to be a doom prophet or anything. But somebody said to me in the first service as well, like there's a feeling, but I really believe that persecution will come quicker than we know. And you being unfollowed on Instagram is not persecution. Okay? Alright? But when that day comes, when you will be beaten, when you share the word of God outside, will we shrink back and be comfortable, or will we pray for boldness, knowing that I am so scared to go out there because I might be beaten, or people might spot me, what's that? Mock me. They might mock me, they might, I don't know, they might reject me. But you cannot do this on your own. You need the boldness, the confidence that the Holy Spirit through His power gives you to be a witness, because you're called to be a witness. Not just the person next to you, oh, they're called. No, you are called to be a witness. And we need boldness. We need to ask God for boldness in this. You know, when I'm at the Nielsen, I was sitting the other day there, and I'm like listening with one ear how these two guys were evangelizing these two girls. And, they're evangelizing. So I'm sitting there, and I'm listening with one ear, and I'm like, I want to get involved. I want to get involved. I just want to help and just say, but in my head, I'm like, what if they chase me away? What if they do this? And every day as I walk through the Nielsen, I see thousands upon thousands upon thousands souls in Stellenbosch that's going through here. I'm never going to have this opportunity again. But I'm scared. I've got the fear of man. But you know what will break it is when the power of the Holy Spirit comes and He equips me with boldness, and I don't care that I would preach confidently the message of Christ, no matter what the outcome of that is. We need the boldness of the Holy Spirit to break off the fear of man. And you might be here sitting here tonight and you go, but I'm an introvert. Yes. But God has not called you to be an introvert and submit to your personality. He's called you to become more like Jesus. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are scared to say something, I've heard many testimonies of guys who are scared to say something, and now they're preaching because the Holy Spirit empowers them with boldness. We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel through boldness. The second thing, He empowers us with spiritual gifts. In that same scripture of Acts 2:29, it says, they pray, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through them. Because what the signs and wonders do, it also witnesses about Jesus. He says, go and preach the gospel, and these signs and wonders shall follow you. I sometimes think we don't see signs and wonders because we're not witnessing. We're not sharing the gospel. We're not bold enough. We're comfortable, and maybe I'll quickly pray for your leg that you just hurt because you ran too fast yesterday. Signs and wonders follow them. In Mark 16:15-18, it says they cast out demons, they spoke in new languages, they will put their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Do we still trust for these things? Or do we want to go into witnessing about Jesus and just get into debates? Jesus said to Peter, I think, he said, when he said, when Jesus asked, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Christ. And Jesus said to him, what? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. You received a revelation. You cannot save someone. You cannot change someone's heart, but God can. And so do we trust for that? The miraculous, the power of the Holy Spirit to come through us. Guys, and I am, I like, sometimes I even, when it comes to casting out demons and stuff, I go like, what is the right answer here? Lately I've just decided, come, let us pray. If it's a demon, it's going to leave. If it's not, then we'll deal with that. And I don't know how to pray. I don't know what the 5 steps is. I'm not a professional. And do you know, freedom comes. Because I was willing. And I didn't trust in Francois knowing all the steps to cast out a demon. I trusted God that will cast out the demon. I want to see more demons flee in our service. Come on, man. You know, we trust Him for physical healing, blind eyes to open, lame legs to be strengthened, spiritual healing, freedom from demonic oppression, relational healing. Are we trusting that people's relationships will be healed and restored? That people will forgive? They feel bondage. I have a thing against someone, that God will come supernaturally. I struggled 2 years ago. I struggled to forgive a few people. Really, that hurt me really, really, really bad. And I sat with a friend of mine and I said, I can't forgive them. I can say the right words, but I'm not forgiving them. And he said to me, you know what? Forgiveness is supernatural. You have to trust God for full forgiveness. And I rested. I'm like, all my theological, yeah, but it's like every day and it's this and this and every day when I wake up. You know what? Something supernatural happened that night and I completely forgave them. I have nothing in my heart against them. Nothing. I don't have to choose every morning to forgive them. And yes, sometimes it is like that. But God worked supernaturally. I want to show you a video quickly. When I was in Bible school in 2013, we went on an outreach. And this is one of the places we went to go and minister about Jesus. And I just want to show you guys. I saw this the other day on YouTube. and I just was just reminded how cool this is. Okay, can you show the second one as well? I'm going to go 5 minutes over, but I just want to show you guys the second one as well.
I've never seen it before, but I witnessed it firsthand. It is true, God is still moving the same way that He moved at Pentecost.
I was in the middle of worship, and I hadn't even been thinking about bringing a tongue, but my wife tapped me on the back and said, Neil, do you have a tongue? And I prayed, and the Lord said, yes, you need to go forward and bring a tongue. Gave the time, 3 people were brought forward to bring the interpretation. In a second, I think it was really worked out my mind, and it was a tiny sermon. And he came forward and said part of the tongue was spoken in his dialect. It was quite a rare dialect, but he said not many people speak anymore. Yeah. But that he knew it. What's even more incredible is there were several others who were non-Chinese who came forward and said he interpreted the same thing. So he translated it, they interpreted it differently, and it just shows that God still moves today like he did 2,000 years ago.
Amen. It's good, eh? So we need to have faith. And if you go, but what if God doesn't do it? Then we trust God. We don't have to figure it out. We trust God. See this glove? This is Jamie's Iron Man glove. So, you would agree with me that the glove by itself can do nothing. Alright, you can probably use it for, I don't know, hitting a fly or something. But it can't do anything. Like, we are vessels of God. Yes, we can do stuff. But we won't be fully, powerfully moving in what God wants us to do if we're just a vessel floating around. But you see, what God does is He fills us with the Spirit.
One time I played golf, somebody gave this to me.
The hand represents the Holy Spirit. He fills us with power. He fills us with action, with purpose. He directs us. He guides us. But are we open to it to be filled and be moved as this glove is filled and moved on my hand? Because with this hand, the glove can do much. But without this hand in it, it's just a glove. And it isn't used for the purpose that it was created for. Be the glove that's filled with the hand of God to move powerfully for you. Let's probably take this off now. The Spirit gives us purpose in our lives. Just as the hand gives purpose to this glove. And He enables and He empowers. We need to make room. Last thing. How do we follow the Helper? How do we follow the Holy Spirit? And I want to say this. It's simple. It's not a 3 points. This is how you do it. It's relationship. It's relationship. He's personal. And the more I walk with someone, the more I get to know how they speak, how we relate, how we do things. I grow closer to them. In the same way with the Holy Spirit. If we want to be used by Him and He is relational, then we need to speak to Him. That's what I'm doing now. I'm just speaking as I go. Got my quiet time, but I'm speaking with the Holy Spirit. When I mess up, I speak, I ask for forgiveness, and I ask for His help. I ask for His help. When I'm scared, I ask for His help. If I feel like I don't want to do it, I ask Him to help me to do it. And then still I have to push myself to do it, because it is a step out. We have to ask Him. Keep on asking things. I think that's the one thing I learned from Milani, which was amazing, was we need to ask God the whole time. Lord, what are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you saying? And we need to step out in faith. So when you approach, when you go to minister to someone, when you walk down the street, ask Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? And even when you don't hear something specific, just go. Because you're called to be a witness. And trust Him to help you when you don't know what to say. Because He will give you the words. Do we still pray for people? Even if we just walk and say, hey, can I pray for you for something? And they say, yes. And they tell you, and you pray for them. It's God's manifest presence, the presence of God in you, with you, that they experience. When they say no, so what? But do we actually go out and pray? Because prayer teaches us to rely on God and not in our own strength. Okay? Trusting, even when it's difficult or scary. Trusting. Let's close our eyes together.